Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Air Purifier Thunderstorm. The three-pack is back. To order, go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in code Howie3. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is Tuesday. I'm feeling good. We have tons to get to today. Joe Borelli, the New York City councilman, joins us at 12:30. You know, there's a lot to talk about on the national level. We have Omicron, nailed it. First try, right out the gate, said it correctly. I don't want to brag, but Joe Biden said it wrong like 14 times yesterday. So I feel like I'm already on a roll here. Omicron is the big story. If you turn on CNN, MSNBC, they're all freaking out about this new variant, even though the South African doctor who first raised the alarm on it says the symptoms are strange, but pretty mild. But no one's listening to that, you know, because that doctor clearly is not part of the Fauci School of Science. You know what they first teach in the Fauci School of Science? Wreak havoc.
It's science.
Cause sheer panic at all times. Be a menace to society. So that doctor, yeah, we're not really gonna. He's more like a Dr. Scott Atlas. No one needs to listen. Yeah, will he be right in a year or two? Of course. But right now, what's important is making people freak out. But there's another story that I feel a lot of loyalty to. When I first started writing for the Herald, I remember the time period was right around when Fredo Cuomo got into an argument with someone, a heckler, and threatened to throw him down the stairs. And ever since then, it's been a real love story. I love writing about the Cuomo brothers. I do it all the time. And there's always so much material. And I think that because Andrew Cuomo resigned and he's now an ex-governor, a lot of people on the left were hoping that this would stop. That, you know, okay.
I do on occasion say, ciao, Bella.
Yeah, that's not what you're in trouble for, but sure. I think a lot of people on the left were hoping this would go away, you know, because sometimes when the left is okay with getting rid of someone, whether it be Andrew Cuomo, Michael Avenatti, whoever it is, when they know their time is up, they're fine with discarding them and just changing the narrative. You know, maybe there's a new variant to talk about. Maybe there's other things to focus on. But at this point now, what's happening is more and more is coming out. I actually wrote last week about the timing, the incredible timing of Andrew Cuomo's book deal. And obviously, when you heard that Andrew Cuomo was writing a memoir about how great he was handling the pandemic, when the pandemic was still going on, and he wasn't handling it well at all. In fact, he had thousands and thousands of people who died in nursing homes because of his ineptitude. That was a little breathtaking, you know, even for a Cuomo. We kind of have an idea of how these Cuomos see themselves. But even for a Cuomo, it was like, whoa, dude. Read the room, you know, read the city, read the state a little bit. People aren't in the mood for this, but he was offered like $5.1 million. So what's he going to do? You know, his hands are tied. And there was always this discussion of the ethics involved with Chris Cuomo and his brother. Now, when Andrew Cuomo was America's boyfriend, when he was the love gov, when everyone was speculating about who he was dating and whether he was going to run for president, and there were stories about his maybe potential nipple ring. That was the time where Chris was really proud to be baby Fredo. He was proud to have his brother on the show. He even got a specialty giant prop Q-tip made for their back and forth. They talked a lot about Ma's meatballs.
Hey, paisanos!
They talked a lot about, I'm mom's favorite. You never call mom for dinner. Your sauce is terrible. We never eat your meatballs. They're disgusting. You know, dad liked me more. Mama used to say, knock you out. It was back and forth. It was, and people love this. People ate this up. I remember at this point during the pandemic, I was at such a low that I was actually on TikTok. I've since gotten off of it. But girls used to put up the side-by-side of these two and be like, oh my God, they're so funny and they're so handsome. Oh my goodness. Like, I love them. Can we have more Cuomo, please? This is getting me through the pandemic. And I felt like I was taking crazy pills because to me, they just were so obnoxious. But people did like them for a while. And obviously since then, Andrew Cuomo has had an amazing fall from grace. It has been, it's captivated people to watch this guy go up in flames. I mean, his steep decline is like nothing I've seen. It really is. It's something to watch unfold. Now, Chris Cuomo had an interesting way of handling this. He said that, yeah, I'm not going to talk about my brother anymore. Once things took a turn for Andrew, he suddenly didn't want to talk about it. He was like, well, you know, he started straightening his tie. I'm a newscaster, you know, I'm a journalist, so we have to keep some lines here. We're not gonna have my brother on anymore. And people like Janice.
Before we start tonight, let me say something that I'm sure is very obvious to you who watch my show. And thank you for that. You're straight with me, I'll be straight with you. Obviously, I'm aware of what's going on with my brother. And obviously, I cannot cover it because he is my brother.
Now, if only he hadn't covered the rise of Andrew Cuomo, then it would make sense that he couldn't cover the fall of Andrew Cuomo. But of course, that's not what happened. In fact, I read today that CNN had actually had for years a rule in place that Chris could not cover his brother until they saw, you know, ratings gold. They saw the money signs in their eyes and they thought, oh, this will be great for people sitting at home, you know, locked down in their houses. Now, Andrew Cuomo obviously went through a major scandal, a Me Too style scandal where women were coming forward. The New York Attorney General, Letitia James, came out and she has just really, she's done a good job of exposing just what a creep Andrew Cuomo is. He worked the grope line, as we say. And the arrogance of this guy is really unbelievable. It wasn't just people who he worked for, or who worked for him, I should say. It wasn't just state employees. It was state troopers. Like, this guy had no shame. No shame whatsoever. And so that all comes out. But Chris Cuomo, there's still a question mark, you know? And there was rumors that he had sat down with some of Andrew Cuomo's staff and had kind of coached them through how to handle this. And it wasn't until yesterday when we got the actual text about just how involved Chris Cuomo was in trying to save his big bro. And they're really amusing. And I'm going to get to all of it. I'm going to talk to Joe Borelli about it. I know he's going to be psyched up about this. But I just want to hit on one in particular. Okay, this is just, for me, for someone who loves celebrity gossip, this is just something, this is an angle to it I find amazing. Alec Baldwin, if people don't remember this, he came out in support of Andrew Cuomo when all of this was happening, when Andrew Cuomo was first getting a bunch of backlash and, you know, Lindsay Boylan had come out. She was the first one to tweet about her experience with Andrew Cuomo, and he came out and defended him. Now, it turns out, based off what we're reading with these text messages from Chris Cuomo, that they have a mutual friend or something. He has a friend who's very close with Alec Baldwin. He had tried to convince them to not have Alec Baldwin come out and support his brother. That is how you know that you're in trouble.
Consider the source.
Okay, Alec, if Andrew Cuomo thinks you are going to be too damaging, your support is going to be more damaging than whatever's out there. That is how you know you have a problem. It's like New York's two biggest hotheads. I was actually going to make the poll question, like, who would you rather get into a fight over a parking spot with, Andrew Cuomo or Alec Baldwin? I think Andrew Cuomo might win, but there's so many different texts that expose just how duplicitous Chris Cuomo is. And I did have, and I'd love to hear people's take on this, because I honestly felt similarly to the way Tucker Carlson felt, which is, your family is everything. You know, blood is thicker than water. I'm a real big believer in that. I understand wanting to protect your family, to protect your siblings. But he really did cross lines here with, as far as his journalism career goes. He kind of had to pick a path. You either defend your brother and you resign from your job, or you stay clear of it. And he didn't. He was texting with Melissa DeRosa, who's Andrew Cuomo's number two, Andrew Cuomo's right-hand woman. And by all accounts, she's just as bad as Cuomo. She's like the female Cuomo. And he's texting her about what to do, not to resign, giving her all these tips on how to handle it. Which, by the way, since when is Chris Cuomo the PR genius? Since when is he going to help you get out of this optics nightmare? The guy got into a fight with a fat tire biker while he had COVID, and then the next day went on his show and lectured people on not going out of the house with COVID. The man has...
They were wrong before they were right.
And I just want to add one more thing in here. We're going to talk about the Cuomos for this first hour. We have so many other things to get to, though. I mean, really, I just saw some cuts of Joe Biden signing some new legislation, and the only way I can describe it is sad. But before we get to any of that, what I want to say about Chris Cuomo, and this is something I've been thinking about, is that Chris Cuomo, there's a lot of anchors out there who are obnoxious. Some of them are feisty. Some of them are dramatic. Chris Cuomo made his bones, to quote The Godfather, he made his bones being sanctimonious and lecturing people. And whether it was about Catholicism, you know, how prayer, masking, social distancing, Trump, he always had this tone of being morally superior to people. And like he knew what was right and he was a good person. You know, that was his whole shtick, was he was a good person. It's not like he added a bunch of intellectual angles to the discourse. It was all about how he's good and Trump's bad. That was his whole thing. So he survived a lot of bad moments, a lot of ironic moments. Like I just mentioned the fat tire biker. But in this case, I don't think he has any lives left. I think his lives are done for. I think he's like a cat and that was his ninth life, because you can't, it reminds me of the expression, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. He lived by this idea that he could lecture people on being morally superior. And he's not. He's not. He's not a good person. In fact, he's kind of a sleazeball, just like his brother. I guess it runs in the family. So where do you go from there? How do you get up every single night and lecture people when no one can trust you anymore? When no one buys what you're selling? That's the entire thing. If he was a brilliant guy, like there are some guys who make mistakes and some ladies who make mistakes and they go back to the newsroom and you know, whatever, they're good writers or they have a lot of good input, or maybe they're lawyers and they have some expertise and they bounce back slowly but surely. But all Chris Cuomo ever had was, I'm better than you. I know better than you. I'm going to lecture you on why you're wrong, why you're dumb, why you're evil. And he doesn't have that anymore. And that's his entire thing. We're going to read some of these text messages. I think you'll enjoy them. I mean, I would love to get Alec Baldwin's reaction to this. He's probably like, I'm the least of your worries. They should have taken my endorsement. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack is back. This is their most popular offer. You'll have one for your basement, your first floor, and your second floor, or you can buy the 3-Pack for a family member. It's a great Christmas gift. Christmas, as Joe Biden told us yesterday, is going to be here before you know it. One user writes, I'm surprised at how well the small unit works. This is something we get a lot, Jared. People, they're so intrigued, they want to buy it, but they want to know, does it really work? Because sometimes it's hard to understand what it does. Because we talk about so many different things it's capable of doing. I like to use it after I cook because I'm very sensitive to smells. I can't stand when a smell lingers in the kitchen. Jared, though, you like it more for the purifying of the air.
Yes, because I suffer from seasonal allergies that last all of the seasons, basically year-long allergies. But the Thunderstorm is fantastic because all I have to do is I just plug it in to a regular wall outlet. There's no special equipment. I plug it in, I turn it on, and within minutes, it starts ionizing the air. It sends out ions, and that creates a super oxygen. And what the super oxygen does is it gets rid of any allergens or pollutants, molecules that cause odors, things like that, nasty stuff in the air that you don't want to be breathing. And I'm not congested. I'm not, my ears don't hurt. I'm not stuffed up. It's fantastic.
Absolutely. And right now, they're running an incredible deal. If you go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3, you'll save $200 for their special three-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. Make sure you get on this now. It's code word GRACE3. I'm getting heat from people already, and I'm not going to take this. I take criticism all the time, gladly. But I just want to say that 860 says, Grace, it's Omicron, not Omnicron. I believe I said Omicron. I specifically, when Joe Biden pronounces something, I try to pronounce it in a different way because I figure I'm going to be right.
Yes, you did say it correctly. You said Omicron.
See, don't come in here. Don't come in my house and try to tell me I'm saying it wrong, because I guarantee you I will be saying it wrong very soon, but not in the opening. The opening, I was okay. All right, 844-500-4242. There's a piece in The Atlantic. Chris Cuomo must go. Do you agree? I want to hear. Do you think CNN is going to finally cut ties with Fredo? I think we might have to get some Godfather music for this show. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon off right.
Now what? Now comes a girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Hope everyone's having a good Tuesday. It's gorgeous out. I know it's freezing, but it's nice and sunny. I actually, today, I had to fill up my gas, and I usually just go to a place where they fill it up. I don't like to get out of the car. I'm so lazy. It really is crazy how expensive gas is. I mean, I would support people putting Joe Biden's face on all of the pumps because that's all I could think about.
Well, you know, Grace, well, what you need is an electric car, so you don't have to worry about this.
Mayor Pete, I had no idea you're in the studio with us.
It's me. I'm here. I don't know what I'm doing.
Our future president, Pete Buttigieg. Yeah, we will get to that. Mayor Pete is giving out some of his beautiful advice about how to deal with high gas prices. All you need is a lot of money. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Kathy Ireland Gem Spa Jewelry Cleaning System. The Kathy Ireland Gem Spa will clean your jewelry better than a jewelry store. Save $20 and get free shipping by going to Bellmans.com/grace. That's Bellmans.com/grace. Bellmans is spelled B-E-L-L-M-A-N-S. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Chris Cuomo will be fired?
Yes. And the reason I think that is because CNN is now looking again for like the 15th time at this and investigating it. They're looking at the text messages, which are pretty damning. We'll get into those. I think it might be his time to go.
69% of the audience says, nope, he will not be fired.
I think he might be sleeping with the fishes. Adam, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Adam.
Thanks, Grace. I think 69% of your viewers are wrong on this because Chris Cuomo is going. I said this actually a few months ago when I was on your show, or talked on your show. They're going to jettison him because this stuff has come out is so damning and so against whatever policies they do have, which are very few. But I think he's gone. What strength he had was his brother. And his brother's lost power, and just like the Democrats throw them to the dogs, they're going to do the same with Chris Cuomo, in my humble opinion. But the other thing, too, which is really bothering, I think, a lot of people, is Fauci. He's an egomaniac at this point in time. He's just, you know, he keeps saying, it's the science. Well, science can disagree with other science all the time. It's historically known to be a fact. But Fauci is not doing America any good, being so on the side of the Democrats. He wasn't that way with our past president.
No, and you're right. And Adam, something that, I had been talking a little bit yesterday about how it does feel more like a God complex. I don't think egomania even describes it anymore. And that's how he feels. If you say something that goes against him, then that's blasphemous. You're insulting the science. You're insulting the God Fauci. And he is out of control. I agree with you. But I hope the Democrats keep it up. I hope we get more Fauci on TV. I hope we get more AOC New York Magazine puff pieces. I hope we get more Chris Cuomo lectures. Because I'm seeing something in the distance, and it looks like a big red wave. All right, we got Joe Borelli coming up next. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
All right, I'm Chris Cuomo. Welcome to Primetime. Happy Hanukkah to my Jewish brothers and sisters. Enjoy night two of the Festival of Lights. And I hope Thanksgiving was a reminder for everybody of the good people and the good things in your life.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
And we didn't really get into the text messages yet, but they were very clear. Like, there was no... At one point, he says, delete this thread.
Yeah, there were no codes like 10% to the big guy or there H.
H, right. No, he was just telling Melissa DeRosa exactly what to do. And at some point, Melissa DeRosa says in the article I read that this was unsolicited advice. So everyone's turning on each other, which is a beautiful thing to see when we're talking about Democrats. I obviously had to bring on someone who is in New York because they understand a specific kind of pain when it comes to Andrew Cuomo that the rest of us don't. Joe Borelli is the New York City Council Minority Leader, and he's a Staten Islander. He's on Twitter at Joe Borelli NYC. He's a friend of the show. Joe, thanks so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me, and thanks for putting a Godfather reference right as I bumped in. That was fantastic.
Joe, it's going to be the first of many today, let me assure you. Let's get to the text messages. Obviously, Chris Cuomo was trying to help his brother and his brother's staff at handling this massive scandal that was breaking. Did you see anything in there that surprised you?
No, and a small part of me understands that when you are someone's brother, there is an expectation that you do try to help them and you try to help them get out of sticky situations. But you also can't be respected as an impartial journalist who's covering these type of stories for your network, which happens to be one of the largest networks in the world in broadcasting news. You can't be both of those things. You can't be Fredo to Andrew, and you also can't be a medium-ranked late-night TV show host on CNN. I'm not surprised about what he was willing to do because Chris Cuomo is someone who's fundamentally insufferable. I did have the pleasure of being on CNN quite many times in my career, and I have to say, a lot of their news anchors are really well-respected and nice people, and I wish them luck, and I hope that they're successful. Chris Cuomo is one of those people where even people who work for him couldn't take his smugness and his, at times, arrogantness and his self-absorption. So like when you see all these text messages come out, that's the real Chris Cuomo.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that part of the reason that so many people understand what you're saying about the brotherly aspect, but still don't have a lot of sympathy for this guy is because he made his show night after night after night about how he is morally superior to other people and he's a nicer person. And he, you know, he wears his mask and he's not demonic like all of these Trump supporters. And I think that is really what destroyed his credibility even more. It goes beyond the fact that he's not a real journalist. We've all known that for a long time, but it's really just comes down to they're not good people, these Cuomos. And that was kind of their whole brand for so long was that they were these brothers and they loved each other and they were such good guys. And they're just not.
No, again, compare him to another CNN anchor, Anderson Cooper, who's actually a Vanderbilt, right? Who is as close to American aristocracy as possible. And you know, he's someone who has had a genuine career in journalism before having his own show, whether you like the show or not. But look, Chris Cuomo, you have to think back to like his own insufferable history with the coronavirus. This is someone who was caught after chiding everyone for not obeying the rules. This is someone who was caught out about town in the Hamptons, no less, in his multimillion dollar home, not obeying any of the rules. And even after he got caught, recall, he made a big stink out of coming out of the basement after his quarantine. Like, there might not be any more way to demonstrate someone's a giant tool than have them get caught not quarantining and then make a big TV show about them coming out of quarantine. It's just incredible. It's actually incredible. It's insufferable. And the sooner the world is rid of the brothers Cuomo, maybe the sister's nice. I have no idea. But as soon as the world is rid of the brothers Cuomo, we'd be in a better place.
Yeah, and you're right. He got in a fight with a fat tire biker, as he admitted on a radio show, about COVID and about quarantining. And ever since then, Joe, I just want you to know, when I'm anywhere near a fat tire biker with my parents, they both start screaming, "Fat tire biker, fat tire biker." And it's because of Chris Cuomo. No, you're absolutely right. He is insufferable. And I guess my next question for you, because sometimes these stories, certain ones pick up more interest than others, but something that I was very interested in was a few weeks ago when news broke about the timing of Andrew Cuomo's book on this pandemic. I know you, along with Janice Dean and other personalities and politicians, have been on top of this. Were you aghast at how he was planning this book before even the second wave of COVID hit? And actually, he was planning this book before, 3 days before he shut down New York.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I feel like Nostradamus in this situation, because people who know Andrew Cuomo knew how fundamentally corrupt and flawed he was as a person. So, like, you know, while we didn't know he was planning a book right then and there, when it came out that he had a book deal, we knew that people involved in state government, employees of his, were working on this book. We knew that his end game was always to have personal profit in the form of $5.2 million. So I wasn't shocked. I mean, I was shocked in the sense that a lot of times when you're criticizing someone politically, there is a tendency to be hyperbolic about how flawed or corrupt the person is. In this case, Andrew Cuomo lived up to the whole, you know, to the whole playbill. I mean, he lived up to exactly who his critics, including myself, you mentioned Janice Dean, Ron Kim, and all these other people who became sort of quasi-famous for being finally able to stand up to the guy. Every one of them was true. Like, not one story about Andrew Cuomo has been proven to be hyperbolic or over the top or didn't really happen. You read the transcripts of his own staff, and these are sick, sadistic wackos who were in charge of a state during a very serious crisis. I don't hold my tongue when it comes to Andrew Cuomo, and because I don't think other governors and other mayors of New York and elsewhere acted this corrupt during a time where we needed them to be important.
Yeah. And no one really tried to profit off of this pandemic as openly as Andrew Cuomo did with this book deal. He was getting awards. I mean, there was no stopping this guy. Just to shift back really quickly here to Chris Cuomo, Joe, do you think that CNN is at the end of their rope with him? Do you think that maybe they say they're investigating this. They're going to look into it. I have this feeling that it's the end for him. Would you agree?
Yeah, because, I mean, what is he bringing to the table? He's not bringing high ratings. He's not bringing a good work environment. He's not bringing a lot of sponsors and money to CNN's bottom line. So, you know, add to that the controversy surrounding him personally, whether they want someone who tried to cover up sexual harassment on their network as one of their primetime anchors. And add to that the fact that part of this whole controversy is how he covered his own brother, and how now it's clear that the things he was spouting on CNN about his brother's competence and plans and management abilities during COVID were not even grounded in, not only were they not grounded in fact, they weren't grounded in the governor's spin either, and they were actually known to him to be the opposite of what he was saying on air. So I think that's where even the potato Brian Stelter has to come out and start realizing that, like, this is someone who's just not honest with his own viewers. And if I was the head of CNN, and I've gotten to meet Jeff Zucker a few times, he seems like an okay guy. If I was him, I'd be embarrassed to have him on the air.
Yeah, I mean, it is the network that also has Jeffrey Toobin giving legal advice. So I don't know how embarrassed they tend to get about these things. But Joe, I do want to ask you a few more things, because I couldn't believe this when I first read it. I mean, you guys just got through Andrew Cuomo, and I think everyone had the feeling, all right, New York has suffered enough. There's no way the next person can be as bad. But Hochul is definitely giving Cuomo a run for his money. Now it's being announced that a lot of elective surgeries in New York are not going to happen because they don't want the hospitals to be overwhelmed. Do you have any reaction to this?
Yeah, I mean, she's jumping the gun, you know. And look, different parts of the state, I just checked in with a colleague from Western New York. Western New York is seeing an uptick in spikes. But don't forget, a lot of the hospital staffing issues are related to her own mandate,
right,
laying off a lot of the workers. I mean, we can't leave that out of the mix. But she's jumping the gun. In New York City, we're at about 30 or 35 cases per day going to the hospital. We were at 230 when Andrew Cuomo made the same order last year. And if it was right then, that's fine. But we're 7 or 8 times less hospitalization rate than we were then. So not allowing Nana to have her hip replacement or not allowing a kidney transplant to happen is not good for those people, especially when there's no run on beds throughout the entire state. Our state is bigger than most countries. We don't have to have one policy for all of the vast regions of the state.
And I'm glad you brought those up, Nana having her hip replaced, because a lot of people hear elective surgery and they think cosmetic surgery, and that's not what this is. Joe, I wanted to ask you one more thing. You had a great piece in the New York Post. I wanted to get you on right after you wrote it. It's about a bill that's going to allow non-citizens to vote, and it's being pushed through in New York City. Can you give us a little summary of what this bill is and why you're so opposed to it?
Well, look, it dilutes the votes of the 5.6 million registered voters who are citizens in New York City. I mean, certainly at the very least, I think they should have a say in whether or not their votes get watered down by adding up to 800,000 non-citizens. These are people who are not disenfranchised voters. These are all people who are enfranchised in the countries in which they have citizenship. And as you pointed out, my op-ed, I wrote about how that sometimes leads to some quirky things in New York, where you had Emmanuel Macron come and thank his voters here in New York City at an event. You had you often have Dominican federal candidates from the Dominican Republic open up campaign headquarters because there's such a concentration of enfranchised Dominican citizen voters in Washington Heights in the South Bronx. And it's become very plausible for them to gain some ground electorally by coming here. I'm fearful that these are people who have no long-term commitment to our city, let alone no long-term commitment to our country, and allowing them to have a say in the long-term debt liabilities, the property tax liabilities of our city is probably a bad thing. Do I care if non-citizens have a say in whether there's a speed bump on the block where they might drop their kids off at daycare? No, and that's fine. We have community boards. We have forums where they can petition their elected officials for those type of things. But having a say in the long-term needs of our city, I think, is misguided. And fundamentally, it's against the Constitution of the state of New York, which limits voting rights to citizens.
Well, I thought the craziest part of this is that you say to justify this, proponents are trying to sell us on the notion that offering them voting rights would encourage them to become citizens. I mean, you put it so well. That's counterintuitive. It doesn't even make sense to most people. And I don't understand why it's our job to try to encourage non-citizens to become citizens. And we have to let them vote in elections that, like you said, they might not really have a stake in where they're voting.
No, and that's the point that actually Bill de Blasio, of all people, brought up. He's someone whose goal is to see a lot of New York residents become citizens. And that's his position. That's fine. But he took the same approach where giving this fundamental right that we only afforded to citizens to people will not lead them to become citizens. And in this case, he's right. In other cases, he's wrong. But that's kind of the fundamental process. We want people to be invested. We want people to follow the rules and become citizens themselves. But saying that those two things will lead to each other is not true.
Joe Borelli, the New York City Council Minority Leader. You can find him on Twitter at Joe Borelli NYC. He's a great follow. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Joe.
Anytime. Thank you, Grace.
And let's keep our fingers crossed that Chris Cuomo, this might be his last week on the air. We might have to do, but by Friday, Jared, you might be putting together a best of Chris Cuomo for the audience. Celebrate the season at Aviva Trattoria. Aviva serves Italian classics with culinary flair, and it's the perfect place for a holiday get-together with family and friends. It really is. These restaurants are so beautiful. They're clean, they're upbeat, they're fun, they're bright. You can see everything getting cooked in the kitchen, which is always really cool. And the staff is awesome, but I know this is where everyone wants to find out, how's the food? Let me tell you, the food is unbelievable. The eggplant milanese, the chicken parm. I'm a classic Italian, classic Italian food lover because I like the things that the meatballs, not to sound like Andrew Cuomo here, but I just like the basics. Jared, you're a little bit more adventurous than I am.
Yeah, I love the short rib risotto. It's braised short rib on a risotto with a wine sauce. That's fantastic. I like their pizza a lot. And actually, one of our recent Woker Joke winners emailed, they got the gift card for winning Woker Joke, and he said, love, by the way, they have the best chicken broccoli Alfredo.
I was going to say, I thought he mentioned Alfredo.
Yeah.
There's always something for everyone. If you have picky eaters in your family, you can find something there. If you're gluten-free, they can almost make everything on their menu gluten-free.
Very expensive gluten-free.
Chef Anthony, he's fabulous, and he gets a lot of local ingredients. It's just a really great place. And the best part is they have a lot of locations in Malden, Maynard, Marlboro, Westford, and Wrentham. Right now, we're getting near the holiday season. You don't want to go to the mall and have to buy tons of toys or stuff or whatever. No one needs more stuff. People want to go out to dinner. They want to get back out there. And right now, you can give the gift of Aviva to you, your family, your friends. Visit AvivaTrattoria.com for special holiday gift card offers. That's AvivaTrattoria.com. We will be back. I want to play the cut. Don Lemon, you know, Joe Borelli just mentioned that a lot of these anchors, they're nice people, and Chris Cuomo really isn't. But he does have some friends at CNN.
I got a lot of black friends.
Well, yeah, he has a lot of black friends. He also just has a lot of friends in general, it would seem. Don Lemon being one of them. He's both he's his black friend, I guess, or one of them. And he is offering his support to Chris Cuomo. And it's slobbering. It's really embarrassing. It's just what you'd expect from Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo. And we'll play that when we return.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. She's a master thespian. Trained in the art of performance.
These pretzels are making me thirsty!
This is the Grace Curley Show.
I should say, before I even start playing this Don Lemon sound, we got to get right to it. We don't have a lot of time. It's been a rough week for Don Lemon. He was very, very friendly with Jussie Smollett. He was a big fan, had him on his show. And of course, this is the week that the Jussie Smollett trial continues or starts. And so that's hard enough. And then now he's got to defend his best friend, Chris Cuomo. I mean, the guy just can't catch a break. He's probably heartbroken by all of this. Let's hear, they do this thing. You know how we do the car crossover? They have something similar at CNN where Don Lemon hands it off to Chris Cuomo. And they usually have like a funny back and forth. And last night, you would think they had a lot to talk about. Let's take a listen.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, brother.
I know you had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you did. I missed you. I am grateful for your friendship and your love. I think that you are fantastic. One of the kindest people I know on this planet. There you go. I'm in everywhere.
Well, I am thankful for you in my life. It was great to see you having a good time. I like the Friendsgiving tradition.
Yes.
For us, it was great to be in the house for the first time. And it was all good, man. One memory at a time. It's always better with you, but it was good to know you were having fun where you were.
I'm glad you got to be with your family. I do Friendsgiving, and then I do a big Christmas and New Year's with my family before I head off and, you know, do the thing with Anderson and Andy.
Okay, I just want to say I'm also grateful for something. I'm grateful that they had nice Thanksgivings, and I'm grateful that we have the text messages that Chris Cuomo sent to Melissa DeRosa, so I'm going to read some of those right now. At one point on March 7th, just a week after Andrew Cuomo authorized James to commission an outside probe, DeRosa wrote, "Rumor going around from Politico, 1 to 2 more people coming out tomorrow. Can you check the sources?" she added. "On it," Chris Cuomo responded. Later that day, he texted her, "No resign. No resign. No resign." She responded, "No resign." That's really all the texts I have here. Let me see if I can find another one. Oh, he texts her about Alec Baldwin. "My friend asked him to do it. He's very close to him." In a March 10th text to DeRosa, he also apparently invoked the names of political consultant Liz Smith and pollster Jeffrey Pollack while saying, "You need to trust me, Liz and Jeff Moore, not these other people. We are making mistakes we can't afford." We are making mistakes we can't afford. So he's officially on the team. In another story, he tried to insinuate that the unnamed woman has an unnamed woman has problems with the story and may want to talk. In other words, Oppo researched to make the women coming forward against Andrew look bad. And he said, and I know this, delete thread now. All right. That was fun. But when we get back, we got a Ghislaine Maxwell update, a Geraldo Rivero strange rant, and so much more. The show is just getting started. Don't go anywhere.